Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Welcome along, folks. Good to have you with us. Did you notice, PJ, that have you seen any of these Spotify Wrapped things doing the rounds?
I have. I don't know what. Do you know what it is? I haven't a clue.
Well, it's basically where Spotify turns around and gives you a summary of what you've done.
Right.
Or listened to, rather, for the year.
I wouldn't be into that.
And then it goes into weird things, like it tells you about the moods you're in and the all or something.
How does it know what mood you're in?
I don't know. I don't know what that is. I haven't really gone into it. I'm afraid to look because mine is embarrassing. Like, mine is embarrassing, you know what I mean?
Oh, did
like,
you get it? You're on Spotify,
yeah? Yeah.
Okay. And, this
like,
one.
You know what I mean? Mine would be, like, there'd be songs in there now, and you wouldn't want to be admitting that you were listening to them and all that, you know what I mean? Wouldn't do your credibility any favours whatsoever.
Well, I suppose what happens is you think to yourself, I listen to cool music, and you think to yourself, what are my favourite songs?
Yeah.
And then when it's confronted with the reality of you were listening to Michael Bolton 17 times on one day because you just couldn't get it off repeat and you were loving it so much, and then you kind of, you're faced with the reality that your choices and tastes are actually a bit shite.
Because I'd have what I would consider to be quite an eclectic taste when it came to music. You know, I like a little bit of everything. I'm sort of like a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm the same.
Like,
I'm,
you know what I mean? Could there be a few cool songs, obviously, that I would appreciate, but then there'd be a few, you know, embarrassing guilty pleasures.
Like
along
what?
The way as well.
What sort
well,
of
I don't know. Like, you know, there might be a country tune in there.
Oh yeah.
There might be.
I'd be embarrassed at that.
There might be a big movie tune in there or something. You know what I mean? A musical number from like The Greatest Showman or something. I mean, I don't know.
Are you a car singer now? Are you a car singer?
No.
Are you not?
No, I don't sing anywhere.
Oh, never. Even
not
in
really,
the car.
No.
Even when you're on your own.
No, because I'm terrible.
Oh, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. I'm a car singer. I'm a car singer. Yeah, I love being in traffic. I'm rolling the windows up, making sure no one can hear me, and especially when there's no one around to see it, I give it the whole, how can I suppose to live without you?
And do you do it like that and deliberately get the lyrics wrong as well?
I don't know the lyrics. I never know the lyrics. Oh, there you go. Even though I like being around in the car, I sing about what I'm doing. Oh, I'm eating a whisper and I have a can of coke here.
Right.
How am I supposed to do it? I go out Mary Byrne and all
and
like that.
And you do it everywhere. Do you do the shower thing as well?
No, I don't. No, literally the car, because it's the only place where I know 100% certainty I will not be heard.
Right.
It's the only place. And even quite often, I've been in traffic doing the whole, how am I going on there without you? And then someone will pull up beside me.
Yeah.
And I'll pretend I'm coughing. I'll go, because I know they would have seen my head bobbing and weaving and everything.
Because the closest I'd have to that is, you know, occasionally, if it's ever happened to you where something just comes into your head, totally out of context, totally at random, that makes you laugh. A memory.
Yes.
9 times out of 10, it's something that you've ended up doing or saying at some point in the recent past.
Right.
Whatever, and it comes back into my head and I'll just laugh out loud.
You get
and
a fit of the giggles.
Exactly. And then, again, if you're in traffic when that happens, and you become conscious of the person in the car next to you looking at you, and you're trying to, you know, you try and pretend you're actually on the phone, and you start like pointing nearly at the phone or looking at it in the hope they think, oh, he's obviously on a call.
He's on a call.
He's not just completely off his head.
I just thought it was some weirdo giggling to himself. Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing the safety you feel in the car, though? Some people do. Like,
yeah.
We obviously don't. For us, a car is a public space, right?
Okay, it's when people can see into you.
I know, but then other people just don't. Some people are just like, feck the world, man. You know, when you're like sitting there and there's a guy right behind you and he knows he's looking at you in the rearview mirror. He's made eye contact. He's looking at your rearview mirror and you're looking at him and he's up to his knuckles in both nostrils. Fiddling, tickling the bottom of his brain.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what are you doing? Like, everyone can see you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. And yet there's me completely on my own, no bother. And I'm
embarrassed because you're singing.
And I'm singing my head off. And if a car pulls up, I go from, how am I to, how am I supposed to live without you?
Remember we got that mad WhatsApp in once? We were talking about stuff that people in cars or whatever. And we got that mad WhatsApp in of somebody saying they saw a gentleman doing ungentlemanly things with himself.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, he was doing something that you need to ask yourself if you should do it in the privacy of your own home. Yeah.
So that's Obviously, thankfully,
that's disgusting.
It's good you draw the line there.
Some people.
But come here, listen.
Disgusting.
The only reason I brought up the Spotify thing, right, and this Spotify Wrapped, so it tells you like the song you listen to the most, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It tells you about your year, apparently, right? And but one of the things was it tells you the podcast you listen to the most.
Oh, right.
And somebody tweeted that this came up as the most the podcast that was they listened to the most.
Oh, Glory Days
for the year, yeah.
Oh, right, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
So there's someone out there now listening to us doing all this rubbish. That's where we're very much appreciated.
There's somebody out there listening on a regular basis, PJ, to this old rubbish.
And we're delighted to have you along, whoever you are.
Yeah, it's great. Come here, the other thing as well is there was a little... We're going to do the best bits, right, as we always do, right? We'll give you a few of the best bits from during the week. And the thing about it was, there was a sort of a relationship theme to a few of the stories during the week.
There was a bit.
There was a thing about settling down. There's a thing about marriages. I'll tell you about that in a second or whatever. But apparently the old relationships carry on in December.
It's good, yeah.
Something we didn't get to talk about on the actual show itself was that apparently December time is quite a good time if you would like a little bedroom exercise.
Yeah, it's the season to be horny. Keep your cacks on, don't be disgusting. Whatever it is.
That's the opposite is what they're talking about.
Yeah, but that's because you've disturbed me thinking about the other fella in traffic. But apparently that's true. Yeah, in December, you know, that's illicit encounters. That's his website that they urge people to have affairs and all. They're like, up to no good, this website. And they keep releasing these statements. And they were saying December is the time when people get the most horny with each other and want to go to bed and do things that you do in there when you take off their clothes and everything. Apparently we have more sex in December, human beings generally, than in any other month. But you know something, it makes sense. It makes sense because you have more time at home, you have less money.
You're off for Christmas.
You're off for Christmas.
Suppose,
you have less money than you ever have for the rest of the year. You're broke at Christmas, right?
Right, okay.
By the time you buy everything, so you can't go out, and especially in jump.
So you're basically saying you can't do what you want to do, so you have to have sex.
Ah, yeah, come on. Sex is the best of a bad lot. Isn't it? Sex is the best of a bad lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd love to go out for a jar or go to the pictures or something, but it's not even on. Will we go for a ride?
Yeah, exactly. If there's nothing else to do, like if the park is closed, you'd have the ride.
You're quite the romantic, aren't you?
Absolutely. I am. I like all the romantic shite. I do. I like all going for meals.
Yeah.
And I like all... But
the bump and jiggly things.
But all of that carry on. Could you be arsed? Do you know what I mean? You get to a stage where that's not as much fun as it used to be. You're too rehearsed after a certain time. You've learned your three positions. You stick to them. That's your life. Stick to your three positions. Stop. Don't get adventurous.
You're not an athlete, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Calm down.
Imagine like you're with someone for years and they come in wearing stockings or they have the hole in their pyjamas or something. You'd be like, put your clothes on. Yeah, make a show of the both of us. You'd be like, I'm going down to the car to sing a song.
Wow. Because I have to say, when we saw that research or whatever, I just assumed it was because most people were drunk a vast majority of the time
in
December.
Well, that's it as well.
Because, I mean, there'd be Christmas parties going on and then there'd be the old festive, you know, you'd have a few drinks at home maybe over the Christmas period and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody's inhibitions might be slightly diminished.
Well, that's it as well, I suppose,
And then it was December and then it was a couple of the hot months.
A couple of July, I think, as well.
Yeah. But that makes sense. That's because people are discarding their clothes willy-nilly, like, just because the sun is shining.
I actually have it here. No, it's June. Yeah, June and July. Yeah, it's June, July, the other 2 months where people... Yeah, that's because you're walking around practically in the nude, yeah. You're giving these sort of temptation.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're long days.
Because let's face it, nothing speaks to temptation more than a chap in socks and sandals, really, does it?
Yeah, walking around. Yeah, tell me about it. A lad comes in his Crocs and Bermudas. How can you possibly say no? You know, the old belly to about 2 foot ahead of him walking into the bedroom. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's the stuff he got for Christmas that got him to ride the last time.
Yeah, because he looks like Santa.
Anyway, listen, as I say, we did have a few best bits during the course of the week that we want to play for you that actually involved sort of relationship stuff. There's one woman who can't get enough, and I'm talking about relationships now, not sex, because she had a phenomenal number of marriages. We were talking about it on the show, so you'll hear that again. Also, there was a little thing about when, you know, as we approach Christmas or whatever, the whole idea of the amount of people who'll come home for Christmas.
Yes.
Okay, and obviously that's to do with relationships, to do with families and friends and catching up.
All those other annoying things.
And there was a chat about some of the stuff that that you miss when you're away from home, specifically around Christmas. And I have to say, the top three took PJ and myself completely off guard.
Never saw that coming, to be honest. Especially the number one. Never had the chance.
Real strange one. Well, you get to hear that again. Also, one of PJ's greatest nemesis, the Seagulls. You've had an interesting kind of past with Seagulls.
I hate them, I do, yeah.
And it turns out that it could be a spot of jealousy on PJ's behalf because apparently they're extremely intelligent.
That might be it.
So we had a chat about that. And also, again, a man who... Well, somebody after our own heart, he broke a Guinness World Record, something we've always aspired to do. He haven't managed it so far. He did, but it was for a bodily function.
Yeah, he's a scumbag, basically.
Right, have a listen. We'll talk to you the other side. Spit it out, Jim, will you? Spit it out.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
An Australian man has broken a decade-old world record, though. For the loudest burp ever recorded. A proper Guinness World Record. It's been there for 10 years, the previous record. A guy called Mr. Hun, who is an English fella. This is an Australian lad called Neville Sharp. He's from Darwin.
Yeah. Which, by the way, when we said this to Clint, Clint said, what part of Australia? And we said, Darwin. He goes, yeah, it's figures.
Yeah, of course he is, he said.
What is it about Darwin, eh?
I don't know what it is about Darwin, but it definitely triggered...
A lot of burpers there.
Triggered Clint in some way. So he says his wife encouraged him to do it, to go for the record. His wife said, I knew you had it in you. She sat him down and says, I think you've always wanted to break a world record, you definitely have this. So he spent the next 5 years training. 5 years he spent training to break the record.
You can train to make your burp louder.
Absolutely, by being a pig. He's an absolute pig. He's been training.
Really?
Yeah, by burping as much as he could and as loud as he could for ages. Then he went out and he bought all the sound equipment he needed to record it as effectively as possible so he'd get the decibel readings and all. You know, that was the hardest part, he said, was actually getting the equipment. He says he'd been building up on the physical practice for getting to the burp and the loudness of the burp. He says it was grand. It just took time and effort. But actually finding the equipment, he says, was very difficult. And then he did his belch. 112.4 decibels is what his burp comes
in. Now, if you're wondering what that sounds like, well, good news, people. Here it is.
112.4.
There we go. Save.
Well, that's a lot of excitement there, isn't it?
That is the most disgusting noise I've ever heard.
And I'm going to play it again.
112.4.
I mean, that doesn't even... That didn't sound like a burp, really.
It doesn't sound human. Sure, it doesn't.
It sounded like a weird combination of a roar and
It's disgusting. I hate burps. Do you know that? I hate burps. I can take a fart. I can take a fart off anyone. Honestly, I can deal with it.
Really?
I can deal with it. I can live with it. Unless it's completely toxic. But there's something about burping gives me rage. I mean, absolute unbelievable rage. Yeah, I see red when somebody burps. If I'm sitting at a table and somebody does, because it's like a fart with no protection. It's a mouth fart. That's what a burp is. Do you know what I mean? And then people go, and then you know if you can smell salad leaves off someone's people's breath, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
More disgusting than a bottom burp.
Much worse than that.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
much worse.
And
is it
the fact that it's above? You know, above,
no.
Is it that it's in your sort of in your. Almost in your face.
It is in your face.
For want of a better term.
It's absolutely in your face.
Right.
And it's also unprotected. And it's not necessary. That's what it is. That's what really, really upsets me.
Oh, right, okay.
Farts you can't help. If you can't hold it. You'll hurt yourself.
Well, technically, but... Yeah, I'll go with you on this. You'll end up
in a doctor's surgery if you hold too many. You will.
Right.
There's never, ever, ever... Ever, ever a reason to do a burp. You can always bluff a burp.
Yeah, you can always do a sort of, excuse me.
You can always do those when it comes up and you fill your mouth full of air and go. You let it out really slow. You know, that kind of way. And nobody has to know. But you can't do that down below. And that's why I think burps are the most disgusting. It's just rude.
Right.
Just really, really, really
that's
rude.
That's an interesting insight. It really is.
Yeah, it's really rude.
I mean,
rude.
This guy winning... the other thing about this is, you know the way... Because we've explored this. Now, nothing to do with burping people, by the way. That was not it. But we have explored the idea of Guinness Book of World Records, you know, attempting to break records.
Yeah.
And they're expensive to get it officially
done. That's true, yeah, they cost money.
And obviously it has to be planned. So he had to plan his burp for a specific day.
Yeah,
which even in itself, I think, is unusual. Normally they come upon you. Whereas obviously this is, you know, this is an at-will technique.
He can bring it
developed.
On. Yeah, yeah. That's why you'll never have, unfortunately, a fart world record. You can't choose your time. You'll have a fella standing around.
There'll be somebody out there who disagrees with you. There'll be some lad out there, sadly, who'll say, well, I tell you, I can perform on cue.
Yeah, right. And standing there with a microphone next to his trousers for about an hour and a half, begging to say, oh, sorry, now it'll be along now in a minute. It's like an old bus coming out of his bum.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
I'm on the lookout for your advice, PJ.
Oh, yeah, what's happening now? What's going
on? Because I tell you something, it's the weirdest thing, right? Crows, right?
Yeah.
Crows. And black, well, I'm not really 100% familiar with any of this stuff, right? So a crow versus a blackbird, I'd probably struggle.
I haven't a clue.
Right, okay.
I wouldn't know the difference. I think I know what a raven looks like, but I'm not sure.
Is that very different to a crow and a blackbird, is it?
No.
Right.
In fact, the second I said it, I regretted it. Because I knew you were going to ask me a question. And I regretted it immediately.
So here's the thing, right? You know the way people, we would be one of these people, right, would have one of these bird feeder things in your garden.
Oh, you have one,
yeah. For feeding the birds or whatever. You know, the little yolks with the hangy things on, container things on them.
Yeah, I know the things,
that
they
cling onto or whatever and they nibble at, right? And the thing about it is, right, that it's for, you know, like the, whatever, little birds.
Finches and things
like
that. Yeah,
all that sort of, exactly that kind of stuff, right? But the trouble is, right, that the crows come out in force.
Right.
And I swear to God, Yvonne's like a mad woman at times, banging on the window and stuff, trying to scare the crows away from it, from hogging, basically, all the
bird food.
All the bird food, the seed and the stuff and all that kind of stuff, right? Now, we got these other things that go over. Like, they're like outer cages.
Right, yeah.
Right, that are supposed to mean that only the little birds can get in it. But apparently crows, right, are one of the most intelligent creatures on the planet.
I've heard this.
And they'll work together. I've seen them do it. They work together in like little teams where one of them will just start knocking the seed thing or whatever it might be, or the peanutty thing,
yeah,
or whatever, until it spills or breaks or whatever, and the rest then will get it from the ground.
Well, really?
It's mad. It's mad. Because I was reading up trying to think, like, this is ridiculous because you're literally up there banging on the window shouting at the crow.
It's also gas the way you went out and got a bird feeder. And you wanted to feed the birds, but then when the birds start eating it, you go, not those birds!
Exactly. You don't want those big, dirty crows.
I want normal
birds.
They're
hogging it all for themselves.
Yeah, it's because I'm after reading a study there this morning as well about the intelligence of seagulls, and apparently seagulls are much smarter than we thought they were. They did this new study that shows they're as smart as a parrot. Now, you're going to say, is a parrot smart? I never knew.
Wow.
That's news to me that a parrot is so smart, but apparently a parrot is very smart.
So basically there's all these smart birds then.
Yeah, they're really smart. They did this thing, it's a sausage test, right? So they put sausages into these clear boxes,
yeah,
with strings tied around them, and then they have to see how long it takes for the seagull to realise if he pulls the string he gets the sausage.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And then a lot of them, 25% of them, solved it within 3 attempts, and loads of them got it on the first attempt. They just went down, oh, there's the string, the sausage, pulled it. And so they're actually much smarter than we thought they were when it comes to getting food and all.
Well, then there must be some sort of relationship there. That if crows are supposed to be one of the most intelligent and seagulls are smart, there must be something going on there.
Do you know, isn't it mad the way
because
we don't
like
them?
Because they say that crows can identify your face. They'll get to know who sort of is friendly and who is
so the crows in your garden are going, here, let's do that baldy lad's head in. Let's go down and do that baldy lad's head
in. As long as we go while his missus isn't there, we're laughing.
Yeah, and they're there.
He's too lazy to get up off the chair.
Yeah, they're there. They're both smacking away at your bird seed, laughing at you. And one of them's going, you know, they're giving seagulls sausages. These days, this is ridiculous.
So, but I mean, seagulls, you've like whatever about the intelligent thing, because we used to talk about the aggressive thing. Remember that? We were saying seagulls are actually becoming, like, you see them out here.
I know, yeah.
Like here when you're driving home and the lads are doing the lads are on their break from the building sites or whatever. Like the seagulls aren't just hovering.
No, they're standing.
They're literally standing there, almost kind of like, are you going to eat all of that?
Yeah.
You're eating all of that, are you?
Yeah,
I'm sitting, I'm right here in front of you.
Give us a bit!
Yeah.
Give us a bit! That's what they do say. Give us a bit! Give us a bit!
It's like they're a very good seagull impersonation.
Isn't it? Give us a bit!
Yeah.
And when you walk past them, I'm intimidated by seagulls now.
Yeah.
If I see a gang of seagulls. Yeah, if I see a gang of seagulls, I always start thinking, it's like how I feel when I walk past a pack of teenagers. I expect the seagulls to be in North Face jackets and have electric bikes now.
You know what I mean? And start calling you Oofla.
Yeah, standing there in their Nike Air Max going,
or Mister.
Yeah, give us a bit, Mister. 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 Yeah, I do. The seagulls are intimidating, you know.
And just, like, you've had your experience of them in, when you were in Dunleary.
I did, yeah.
Less so now, is it?
No, there were posher seagulls out in Dunleary. There were a better class of seagulls than
the
ones.
No, they weren't. I thought they were the ones that kept doing the...
They were. It was like they were having cocktails. It was like a hen party. Yeah. It was like they were like there all night. You just hear them going rah, ha, 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 all night long. It did sound, it sounded like a gang of girls having a load of cocktails, laughing together.
Right.
And it used to do me head in. And now I'd take them back any day. Because now the Northside Seagulls are no messing. They're just, give them a bit. I'll blame back to you. Give them a bit of your sausage or kick our head in.
Yeah. Like the time you thought that seagull was a woman saying hello to you. Do you remember that?
That was very embarrassing, yeah.
Well, what was that, a bus stop or something? Or a...
No, it was a shelter on the Clontarf Promenade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was walking past and...
Trust you to live in a place with a promenade.
Promenade, yeah. Yeah, the promenade, yeah. I was walking past and the seagull went, wah! And I saw the woman standing next to the seagull and I thought she said, hello! And I went, hey, how are you? And our friend said, did you think that was her? And I went, no.
Yeah, but it was too late. The deed was done.
And she goes, you did. And she started laughing her head off. But the other woman that I thought was a seagull, she didn't find it funny at all. She was very insulted.
Yeah. She turned around and went, give us a bit. Give us a bit.
Yeah. I had to share me battered sausage with her and all.
So what are we going to do anyway? You still haven't solved me problem.
Oh, I don't know.
About, you know, what you do to... Because I've read loads of things that they don't like shiny objects or you can... Whatever, I don't know. You can do all these mad things. But I'm just curious, like, if anybody has... Short of actually getting a scarecrow to stand in the garden.
I think that's probably about it, isn't it? You have to get a scarecrow.
Do scarecrows scare all sorts of birds or literally just crows?
Oh, my God. The questions you ask me...
Well, hang on a second. You're the one that came out with that whole thing about seagulls being intelligent and all.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what I should have done? I should have asked the bloody seagull. That's what I should have...
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Well, there's this woman here, right? She's been married 11 times to 9 different men. So she made... Yeah, so she married the same fella twice, you know?
11 times to 9 different men.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you not have had to marry two of them twice?
Yeah, two of them twice.
You're looking at
me baffled, like you can't, like it's not a possibility.
Well, it just, I mean, whatever about, well, it's just 11 is mad anyway.
It's mental, yeah.
But then two of them twice.
Two of them twice, yeah. It's wild, and she's only 52 years old. Like she's not an old woman. She's only 52.
Oh my God.
And she's been through all these divorces and marriages, but she says just before Christmas, she hasn't given up looking for the one. Yeah, she's still looking.
I'd give up, to be fair, if I was you.
Still looking for Mr. Right, so she is. Monette is her name. She's in America. Of course she's American. This story has American all over it. She's met all these men, and she said she met her first fella straight after high school. It was destined to fail, you know, too young and all that.
Right.
They were only 2 months together, and then they got married, like a bit of a mad one. Then it didn't last, and your man moved away. Sadly, it also fell apart for them, the second fella, because they gave it another short go, and it split. Then she goes, they went through a few of them. At the start, nothing really lasted. She got to number 5. She says, that was the love of my life now, she says. Number 5 is the love of my life. Anyway, it didn't work out.
Right. So,
husband number 6, he seemed very nice and kind, and she married him. And then she says they broke up over a fight, so they got married again straight after, and that didn't work out either. And then she went with number 8. She skips number 7, I don't know why. And she met him online. And then a week after she met him online, she says, oh, do you know something? We'll go to Vegas for the crack.
Right.
And they went to Vegas and they got married. And she says, that probably wasn't the best idea looking back. Very charismatic sort of a fella. He could talk you into anything, she goes.
Wow.
And then she goes, I met number 10. She knew him in school. And he's a very good person. She says, he's still a very good person. Actually, they've remained friends. And then she goes, and the last fella, number 11, which by all accounts could have been a couple of weeks ago, she goes, I don't even want to talk about him. That absolute fluter. She doesn't want to talk about that lad
right,
at all.
That's obviously still quite raw.
It's still raw, yeah. She says she's been proposed to in her life 28 times by different men. That's her claim anyway. That 28 men have gotten down on one knee and said, will you marry me? And she's
been.
Oh
my God.
And she says, it's so when you think about it, she thinks it's not so bad. I only said yes 11 times. Because out of 28, I mean, it's less than even half. That's what she thinks.
That's an extraordinary. I mean, God, the numbers in this story are brilliant.
Aren't they
amazing?
I mean,
I thought the 11 marriages was the ultimate, right? And then you hear the like, went back to two of them twice.
Yeah.
And then the 28 different proposals.
28 different proposals, yeah.
What the? I mean, she must be an absolute stunner, is she? Or worth a fortune?
Well, I don't...
Is she worth a fortune?
Looking at the photographs and reading the story, I don't think... Like,
neither of those particularly apply.
Well, there's nothing bad about the woman at all, apart from her marriage
trends. She doesn't have a very high bar for marriage.
No.
And likewise, not a very high bar for divorce. Like, literally one fight. They had a fight, she says.
Yeah.
And
out.
Right, that's it. It's all over. Divorce. Go the whole nine yards. Cost yourself all the fees. Then... I'm sorry. Okay, grand.
Right,
we'll
come
get
on,
married
back
again.
In. Let's go. I'll meet you at the church. Get your suit on. It's still pressed from the last wedding. You'll be grand. Yeah, I know. It's wild, isn't it? And she says, I've spent my whole life trying to force these lads to live up to being my elusive soulmate that I have in my head. And she reckons that they're doomed to fail because she has this perfect love. But she's still holding out.
Right.
She still thinks this perfect Mr. Right is going to come riding out of the mist on his horse or whatever and take her and away and make her happy forever.
Because, I mean, 11 in, you do have to at least think, you know, at least consider the idea of it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, or else there's no one. Just pick any of them and hope for the best like everybody else.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Apparently there's like 1 million Irish-born people around the world that, you know, miss Ireland every day, apparently.
They're not all coming back, are they?
Not yet, Charlie. You're joking. Loads of them can't come back. Hardly anyone is coming back. With the year that's in it, they're still encouraging people not to come back. I don't know. I think people, if they need to come home, you need to see family. It's... an essential
tough
journey
right,
of
suppose,
its own,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know Paddy Box, they're this company that send out Irish treats all around the world. So if you put type in what you want or you put in what you want and they send you out Denny Rashers or Tato's or Dairy Milk chocolates and all those, these
wow,
things.
I never knew that. Paddy
never
Box.
Oh, yeah, Paddy Box. Yeah, it's this company. It's a great old service.
God, that sounds deadly.
So if you miss anything from home, you can get it sent. If you know somebody abroad now and they're not going to get home for Christmas, you can send them all the Irish things and all that sort of stuff.
So they can have a lovely nostalgic moment.
So they can have a pack.
Like they have in the ads.
So they can cry into a packet of crisps in Kuwait or wherever
lovely,
they're going to be.
Lovely.
But they've done a survey to see like what do people really, really miss over Christmas when they're not here.
Right.
And it's kind of surprising.
Specifically now Christmas, is it?
Oh, specifically Christmas,
right, okay.
Yeah.
Cause, so in other words, we're not just going down another Tato road, are we?
No.
It's not going to be Tato and red lemonade again, is
No. So this is things that the Paddy Box can't actually send to you either, to be quite honest with you. So they say they miss... Midnight Mass, which I'm really surprised that's on the list. I'm really surprised that Midnight Mass
makes
this.
Midnight Mass?
Yeah, apparently the tradition of going to Midnight Mass is something that people are sitting around the world now going, oh God, I'd normally be there. Bored out of my mind.
How old were the people they surveyed?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't go into that.
Midnight Mass,
yeah. People love Midnight Mass and people are going to miss that over the Christmas period. They're also going to really miss chicken fillet rolls.
Right, okay, yeah. That's where it's starting to sound
for
a
Christmas.
Bit more normal.
I don't get that at all for Christmas.
Oh, specifically for Christmas? Yeah, I suppose now, when you Christmasize it.
Chicken fillet rolls. Who's eating a chicken fillet roll
at
around Christmas time?
At least making a turkey fillet roll.
Yeah, you know those petrol stations that they do a turkey cranberry special or whatever?
Yeah,
always taste like leather. Tastes like something that came out of a shoe. But you still kind of like it, as long as there's a bag of crisps in it or something like that.
Yeah.
One of those, maybe.
Wow, we're off to an unusual start here. We've got Midnight Mass and a chicken fillet roll.
Yeah,
things people miss most about Christmas.
And in the top three, rounding it off, really, is the local pub, but that's an obvious one.
Yeah.
That's an obvious one. Everybody misses that. That's the one thing that Ireland does better than any other country in the world, undoubtedly, right?
Yeah. And you always conjure up that image of... Christmas Eve in your local boozer, that sort of buzz.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
all
I mean?
Of that. Stevens's Day is the one I always
Stevens's
think
Day,
of.
Yeah, it can be good with
Stevens's
the
old, Day
with the racing.
Yeah, or there's always good football on.
Yeah.
And all the pressure is off. You've given all your crappy gifts to those people you live with. You know, all that pressure's gone. You've stuffed your...
First of December is really giving you the jingle jangle.
Isn't it? Yeah. And then Stevens's Day, you've already stuffed your fat festive face full of all the treats that you can get your hands on, so you don't feel guilty then about doing it for an extra day. That's what I always think about Stevens Day. It's guilt free.
But that's because that's where you and I, and we've had this conversation in the past, we differ on this. I love that what you call dead week.
The dead week. I hate the dead
week.
See,
I love that. That's my idea. That's my favourite bit of Christmas, is that No, you don't have to do any visiting. There's no expectation on you. You don't have, you know what I mean? There's no performance element of anything about it. It's just yours. And you can be happily bored in your own gaff, doing your own stuff.
Just don't know how the world works during that week, you know.
Yeah.
That's what does my head in. It's like, will we go and get milk? Are you allowed? Are you allowed to get milk? Is the shop open? Can you do that? You know, I just don't know how the world works. It's like, can you go on holidays? I don't know if you're allowed to go on holidays. Is there planes flying? It seems like the whole world shuts down in that weird week, and then all you can do is just fill your face with festive treats.
Again, I go back to it being my favourite time.
I get you. I think I'll probably enjoy it more this year than I ever have before, so.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go. Some of the best bits from during the week on the show. Interesting stuff. I still struggle with that story about your woman being married 11 times.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
And twice to two separate lads.
Wild, isn't it, Jim?
I mean, it's an extraordinary...
I might ask her myself and just see what happens. Just see if she says yes.
Well, as we said at the time, you know, the bar doesn't seem to be set very high. No disrespect to you. I'm just saying from her point of view, literally, if you're nice to her, buy her a cup of coffee.
Well, I might ask myself, yeah, you might as well. She seems to go for anyone, literally any old yoke. And she does some of them a few times.
Well, you know, and it is December.
And I don't even want to marry anyone.
It is December if you're to rock out your Crocs and Bermudas.
I may, maybe. It'd look great, yeah.
Who knows what it might bring. Anyway, are we going to get out of here now?
Let's
go
get out
do
here.
Some Christmas shopping.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, oh yeah, jeez, that's next week's podcast.
Have you done anything at all?
Yeah, I'm nearly finished. Yeah, I've one to buy.
Have you?
Yeah, I've one to buy.
Jeez, that's very impressive. I've none.
Just do it through the phone. You know yourself.
Oh my god,
just do it through the phone.
How do you make the choice of what to get?
Basically, you just pick any old shite and then they can bring it back in the new year.
So really what you're buying somebody for Christmas is a receipt.
They basically, the first thing I see, that's the first piece of shit that turns up on the internet, you're getting it. There's only one that I have to think about. That's the one I haven't got yet.
Right, okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Jeez, there's advice in there for everything. You should become it's consumer affairs watchdog.
Well, look, it doesn't matter what you get. They're not going to want the fucking thing. So just buy whatever crap you see and just hope for the best. Just pick your budget. They're going to return it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Just write that on the receipt. Just bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back. Or do you want me to bring it back for you? That's your second gift.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.